Let's take our Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We're looking to the Word of God this morning. Thankful you're here today. God's been good to us already. Amen. We were overflowing in Sunday school. Amen. That was good. That was really good. Matthew chapter 24. We're going to look at the last little section as we're looking at this. And Lord willing, we'll be out of here in time for you to go eat supper tonight. You got to stay up all night anyway, so might as well just go traveling on. As we look at this chapter, the theme of it is the return of Christ. The key verse is verse 4. 51 verses, 1,047 words, all inspired by God. And it was inspired by God and preserved forever in our King James Bible at a 5.6 grade level for Matthew chapter 24. And if you wonder why people stumble over this chapter so much, it's because it's too easy for them. That's the things that'll get you. It ain't the hard things that'll get you. It's the easy things that'll get you. And the devil will come along and try to mess up your mind with this stuff, and he'll mess up the little things for you, because the Bible says, beware them little foxes that spoil them little foxes that spoil the vines, them little things. So as we look in this chapter, we've seen Jesus give his discourse here on what's going to be happening during the tribulation, what the wars, the rumors of wars and things like that. I came here with good news today. We don't have to go through all that because of the shed blood on Calvary. Right. When somebody gets saved, he saves them from the wrath to come, is what the Bible says. Right. And after giving all this about the things that we go on in tribulation, he turns back to what will happen just before the tribulation. That's the rapture of the church, where Christ is coming to get his church. Now, there's great mysteries in the Bible. This is, you know, a thing where he's going to take his church out of here, take the Holy Spirit out of here completely. Then the devil will just move in this world freely. Right now, there's places he can't get to that he can't, as he who letteth now let has not let him get to where all the places. But I got a thing for you to think about. As we look at this, taking all those things there, he then starts in verse 40 and talks about the rapture of the church. After talking about the second coming and the tribulation time, all that, he backs up in the latter part of this chapter and says in verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And here's his warning. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And the modern versions will take out hour and put day. And why they do that is beyond me, because he's specific about that hour. He'll come in one of the 24 hours we in. One of the time zones will say midnight, one will say 1 a.m., one will say so forth on down the line. But why they want to take something right very easy is that out, I don't know. But it says in verse 43, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Some of you that own shotguns and any other kind of guns, you have them there in case somebody tries to break in your home and kill you. Right. They're not going to plan and send a note ahead and say, I'll be there at 11:45, be waiting on me. There's a man down below our house. He died here a few years back. They've yet to solve the murder of it, but three men broke in on him and beat him to death and robbed him and got out before anybody knew it. If he would have known, he'd had the gun aimed at the door they were coming in. If he'd have known when he heard that sound, he'd have had the gun beside him. But thieves don't ever announce when they're coming. Right. He said, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The hour ye think not. Now listen to this one. He says, 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant? He says, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of. And he says, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As we look to this thing, I want to talk to you today about two types of believers. And we're talking about believers in Jesus Christ that know he died for them, that his blood paid for their sin, and God, and he rose again, he ascended to heaven. There are two very different types of believers here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at this message. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you, God, for letting us be here and be alive. We pray, God, that you'll move, do a great work in our hearts and lives today. Help us, God, as we follow you in your word. Lord, we pray Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Lord, help me to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we thank you in advance for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First off, I'd like to start off this message by saying this. I do not have a book to sell you nor one to recommend other than the one I've got right here on the end times, the last days, the second coming, and the rapture of the church. The Bible says in particular in John chapter 16, he'll guide you into all truth. He will. He is your teacher according to John chapter 14. He is the one that gives us understanding of this book. While books and things can be aids to the scripture, they can also be hindrances to it as well. Right. And I want to come to show you that as we look at two types of believers, the first type is those that will be raptured. Those that will be raptured. In verse 40, he says this, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. So he says, out of them people out there, there'll be two men one day out there getting the corn in. One's going to look around and one's going to be gone. Back there at the farm, they're grinding at the mill, getting everything processed and fixed. The one lady's going to stop and she's going to look over and that other one's gone. And I've had people say, we don't use things like that no more. You ain't been around the world yet, have you? You ain't traveled to a foreign country where they barely have electricity and they still do these very things by hand right here. He said, that'll be happening when he comes back. And he said, when I come back, I'm going to take one and leave the other one. What's the difference? They were two types of believers. The ones leaving are those that are raptured out of here. The ones staying is the other type. As we think about that, if you look at verse 42, what's the first word there? Watch. Watch. Watch what? He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We're in a very grave situation in America. Times are fixing to look bad. There is a dark winter coming. We've been promised that by all them hateful liberals. And we know this. The inmates truly are running the asylum now. If you watch that one debate, that vice presidential debate, and that one sitting there laughing the whole time, we are in grave danger right now as a country. What are people doing? They're waiting for the Lord. They're starting to watch. It's going to be time now. I promise you this, it probably won't be. What did he just say to his people? Watch therefore, look at this, for you know not what. You don't know when he's coming. We know it could be soon. We know it could be today. But it won't be when you're looking for him. But look for him. The whole church, as a populated church, the whole entire body of Christ, I promise you, there's some are thinking he's not showing up. If he's going to show up, he would have already done that. He has saved us out of what we're in right now. It hadn't got bad yet. It has not got bad. You and I are not living during the time of the Antichrist bringing peace on this earth. That's when it'll get bad. We're not living in a time when God shall pour out his wrath on this earth. We're not living in that time yet. Nor do we know the day nor the hour he's coming. But those that will be raptured, he said, what you got to do is watch. Listen, you should have been watching the last 4 years. Because nobody was expecting the last 4 years. Yeah. But I noticed this. The biblical pre-tribulation rapture position is taught scripturally in more places than 1 Corinthians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. There's Jesus talking about it there. Now, if you hold your place here, look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to show you something that I believe will help you today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul commends this church at Thessalonica for being such a good church. He tells them how the gospel came not in word only, but also in power. How do we know that? Because they became followers of Paul and of the Lord. They followed him as he followed Christ. Paul says about them, they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Thessalonica was named the capital of Macedonia by Rome at that time. He said, everybody in the country knows what this church is doing, and the end sample, the living pattern that you put out. But in verse 10, watch this. He says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What we have here is a picture. The Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, watch. Paul says, wait. You got to wait and watch for his coming. Now, here's a crazy thing. In this pre-tribulation rapture that the Bible teaches, Christ comes and gets his church. If this was a mid-tribulation rapture, if that were to happen, you would know that in 2.5 years, what would happen? You'd know at the start of it, because the Antichrist would reveal himself, and you'd say, oh, that's him. That's that guy. The guy that wants to get the tattoo across here or on one of your hands. It's that guy. That's the guy that we're looking for. And we'll know as soon as he shows up, we got 2.5 years to party down, to be drunken and everything like he described in the rest of Matthew chapter 24. We'd know that would be the time to get away with sin, that we got a certain time coming up. Now, follow me here. We know that's not right because of two things. He didn't say, wait and watch for 2.5 years to show up. He didn't say, wait for the Antichrist in 2.5 years. Watch for the signs and wonders. He didn't tell them that. He hadn't told you that either. He didn't say, wait and watch for the Antichrist to show up. We're not to be looking for him. We're to be looking for Jesus to come back and take his church out of the way, and it'll remove the Holy Spirit as he moves out. He takes every sealed believer with him. That's the believer that'll be raptured. That's the one that's headed out here before the wrath to come. That's the one that belongs to him. Amen. The craziest thing I think I've ran up on yet, and I don't have any way to totally explain this, but I believe it, you know. When the Holy Spirit's taken out of here, he's completely gone. How does them 144,000 get saved? You hang around, I'll tell you in a few weeks. They got to be saved somehow. But listen to this. God is going to save them just like he saved you, but there's going to be a catch. The Holy Spirit has been removed. They're already there. The Holy Spirit's going to do something there that'll be amazing in our eyes. And it'll involve every person in this room that'll already be out of here. Those believers that do that, those types of believer, that one that'll be raptured, I've got news for you. Now's not the time to lay out a church. Now's not the time to put the Bible down. Now's not the time to quit tithing. Now's not the time to quit giving to missions. Now's not the time to quit singing. Now's not the time to follow this world. Now is not the time to be part of this world and be wrapped up in politics and all this other stuff. Now is not the time for that. Amen. The time now is to be about the Father's business. Listen, every dollar you give to missions will carry over to heaven, but it'll also keep carrying here as well. God's got a plan for all this, and he'll show you in due time. And when the day of the rapture happens, if you're still breathing, you'll be transformed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. God will snatch you out of here in a second. Your corruption will put on incorruption. As the Holy Spirit taken out of here, you're on the way up with him. Listen, if you're already dead, you'll be there with the Lord in the air. He's going to bring up all these bodies out of the grave of those that's gone on before. He's going to get you up there in heaven. You're going to be reunited with your body, and all of a sudden it ain't the body you left behind. It's not the crippled body left behind, the diseased body, the body that was full of sin. It's going to be a glorified body just like the people that are alive. And the best part about all this, the best part about all this is not that we'll miss trouble, but we'll see him. There's not a problem I have one, there's not a pain I have one that won't be settled and solved the moment I see him. He said, what if you die first? Even so come, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to try to rush that time up or nothing, but I do know this. It'll be worth every mile when we see him. Right. Now, go back to Matthew chapter 24. We see clearly there that he's going to take us in what's called the rapture. And somebody tried to say one time, well, you know, rapture's not in the Bible. Neither is Bible, but I believe the Bible. Yep. Amen. The word rapture comes from a Latin word that describes somebody who over an event became happy, almost out of their skin happy. Somebody that had great joy come within over an event that happened. That event's him getting him snatching away his church. Now, listen to this. The second type of believers described in the rest of the chapter. And verse 43 on down. And this type of believer is those that will be reprobate. He says in verse 43, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, he said, be ye ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now watch this. He says, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Listen, the times are getting bad. The times are getting rough. Hey, listen, but guess what? God's still on the throne. He's still able to do that which he done during creation all the way to now. He's not took one wink of sleep to sit back and not run the universe. The Bible said all things was created by him and all things consist by him. He's still holding everything together. If he wasn't, planet Earth would have done dissolved. But thank God it's more than gravity that's keeping it together. It's God Almighty on his throne, ruling and reigning in this universe still to this day. Right. Jesus said, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. What kind of servant? An evil servant. That's not one of his. So how do you know we've tested him? He's not right. There's something wrong. He's evil. What's he doing? Verse 49, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. He says, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him and in an hour that he's not aware of. What is that evil servant doing? That evil servant standing in the pulpit, he's having an open round of questions and some reprobate drunkard looks at him and says, preacher, is it okay to drink if it's in moderation? And he says, it's okay to do anything in moderation. The only problem with that is there's none that can get around that verse. Woe unto him that puts the bottle to his neighbor's lips. He didn't say he'd blow a .01 or a .14. He said, woe unto him that does that. Here's why. That alcohol is so dangerous, they have to put a seal on top of it, and the government puts a tax seal on top of that, and they sell that stuff, and you got to have an ID to buy it with. There's a reason for all that. The Holy Spirit has been backed off and backed up in some things where people are not genuinely converted. And we see the very servants of God going to work in these places that sell alcohol. Right. You ask that lady today that waits on you, ma'am, are you saved? I'm saved. As she sets a beer down on the table right beside you. You ask that bartender today, are you saved? Yeah, well, you know, I was when I was in church earlier. I'm just a little backslid right now. You ask those people that work at Walmart and stock those beer coolers, or your grocery store and stock those beer coolers. Ask them, are they saved? We're saved. He just said an evil servant. He's going to be eating drunk with a drunken. There's some things I have to do in this day and age because of the way the laws are. But one thing I don't have to do. If you show up at my table and you show up with a beer, me or you's leaving. No matter what. And the reason being, I'm not living to please you or 10 like you. I'm living to please him. And if you get mad at it, you will get over it eventually. I don't want him using my life and me making a hindrance to him so he can't use me. Oh, did you see that preacher? He had a beer on the table. And it could be somebody, oh, but it was mine. When the Olive Garden was open over here, first thing I did before I sat down, I tell that waitress, please take these wine glasses away. Well, I was going to show you the wine list. Not interested. Take them things, and get them out of here. You know why? I don't want you to walk in there and see me with a glass of anything other than water or tea or coffee or something. Why? Because I don't want to hurt my testimony with you. I don't want to hurt my Lord that bled for that sin, died for that sin. Yep. But you can do it in moderation. I'm going to tell you who does it in moderation. Nobody's sitting in these churches. You know what they do? They got some lily-livered, lace-wearing preacher up there that's telling him it's okay to drink because he probably drinks a little bit on the side with him. Down there when he's playing golf, he goes into the bar, goes up and has two shots of whatever to fit in and whatever. I'm going to tell you something. You leading those people astray, they're going to hell with you. And, well, yeah, if you just drink it in moderation, don't worry, honey, they're fixing legalized marijuana, and he'll carry the same tune with that, too. I wonder if we drove out of these places with this alcohol on our breath, and the cop pulled you over, he ain't going to say, well, you've been drinking in moderation, I'm going to let you go. Get out of the car, please, sir. Some of you been there, and you know what I'm talking about. I've had to walk lines on the side of the road and everything else. And then them guys say, wait a minute, where'd he go? Our witness, we're fixing to arrest him. Phew. They can catch you. You ain't going to run that far. You know why? They got your number one prize sitting on the side of the road right there with you. You going to come back. You got to eat sometimes what daddy'd say. Ain't that right? You ain't going to catch me, old man. Phew. Don't worry, he'll come back. He's got to eat. I watched a videotape of a highway patrolman years ago. I won't call his name, but it rhymes with Billy Elder. And you know, they turn him lights on, that camera comes on in front of that car. He rode this guy and chased him and chased him and chased him, and the guy got pulled off, and he pulled off. Dude jumped out of the car and started running. Billy got out to run him and reached down and picks up, keep running, I got your ID badge from work. See, what'd he do with him? He just went back there and waited on him. He had to come to work. Guy showed up. There was the police at work. He said, I'll fool them, I'll go home. There's one sitting there at his house waiting on him. You can run, but you can't hide. That's right. All over what? Just having a couple of beers. Just a little drink in moderation. I asked a man one time, he saw me in the grocery store. He said, he looked at me, I hadn't even saw him. He said, I only drink in moderation. And I said, hello. I was like, that's kind of a funny way to moderate. He said, what do you mean? I said, two cases of beer is moderating? There used to be a woman that came to this church. She visited this church several times. I watched her cry at the altar and beg God to forgive her for what she's doing. On the way out, she said, I can't get rid of him or it. I said, your husband? She said, no, the devil. She said, I'm having real troubles. I'm struggling. Next day, me and a pastor walked through a place up there. I think it was Bilo. They're choosing wine, which wine to have for their party. I said, ma'am, that's why you can't get rid of it. You keep coming where it's at. I was addicted to drugs and I got saved. God gave that, took that addiction away from me. But if I went back to the same old places and kept going back, there's a good chance I'd probably be doing it right now or dead. Listen, you think that you've got the tiger by the tail, but the tiger's got you.
Right.
I noticed these believers that would be reprobate. They're reprobate. This man's describing somebody as a reprobate. So what do you mean reprobate? Reprobate means somebody that says they're one thing, but if you test them, they found faults. Now listen to this. The first time that word occurs is in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 30, where it says, reprobate silver shall men call them because the Lord hath rejected them. Are they believers? Do they believe Jesus came to this earth? Do they believe he's born of a virgin? Do they believe he died for their sins? Do they believe God raised him from the dead? Sure they do. But they don't believe he can save them, and they don't believe if they ask him to save them, he would. They may have made a profession somewhere down the road, but they've never had a life-changing experience in Jesus Christ where he gave them power to become the sons of God in John chapter 1, verse 12, where he gave them the ability, where he made them a new creature in Christ. They've never seen that. Why? They're reprobates. The Bible says over in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, says they profess that they know God. You ever heard that before? Are you saved? Well, sure I am. Can you come to church Sunday? Well, I can't promise you nothing. They must all be here in spirit. What are they? They're reprobate. They profess that they know God. It says, but in works deny him, being these things, being abominable. There's 15 or 22 things one in the Bible says abomination. If I were you, I'd look that word up and find out if I was one. Listen, abominable and disobedient. What are they disobedient to? Anything they can be. The only time they're obedient is when it'll get them something. I know people right now, bless your heart, you get up at 5 o'clock every morning, you go out, listen, you up every morning getting your tools in your truck and all this other stuff, or getting your work clothes ready, packing your lunch, and out the door you go for work to a place filled with people you hate and a place they have to pay you just to show up there. You hate it so bad. Can you come to church with me? Well, you know what? 11 o'clock's pretty early. Let me get this right. Instead of coming to a place where they play God's music and worship Jesus Christ, whom you say you're saved, 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whatever it is too early, and you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 to 6 days a week, to drive an hour one way and complain about the traffic, complain about the place where you work at, and complain about the people you work for, and let's not get started on your boss. We know you hate him. Abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Think about that for a minute. And you got a problem with 11 o'clock church time? Oh, he's going to hold past 12. Bless your heart, I hope I do now that you think that. You know, the only people I've ever had complain about me preaching past 12 wasn't right with God. I ain't never seen somebody full of the Holy Ghost have a problem you preaching 2 hours, much less one. Oh, but I got to get home. I got to get my crock pot. I got to do this. You know, if you're having problems getting dinner ready, you talk to my wife. She can tell you how to work a crock pot and how to time that thing out. You speak to some of these older ladies in this church, they can tell you how to work a crock pot where it'll be ready when you get there. Amen and amen. Amen. Raptured or reprobate? Reprobate means what? It's been tested. It's found faults. What's it got in it? It's got something that's abominable. It's disobedient. That's the two key ingredients of a reprobate. Look at this. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, says, now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. I read a Bible commentary one time, said James and Jambres were probably the two magicians of Pharaoh that withstood Moses and withstood Aaron. That didn't say a thing about Aaron. It didn't say a thing about being in Egypt. See, who are those men? They're probably part of that mixed multitude that came out of Egypt that pretended like they were Jews, but they wasn't Jews. They're just going along with the new thing. They're just riding it out because they saw all that. Listen, they saw that gold and silver that the Egyptians gave the Jews before they walked out the door. What are they? They're reprobate. They wasn't real. They complained, where are the garlics, the leeks, and the onions? Moses, you brought us out here to die. Who said that? Probably James and Jambres. It said about them men, there's men of corrupt minds. He said that they were reprobate concerning the faith, and that's what got my attention. They weren't Egyptians. They were part of that mixed multitude. Some of them was lost, some of them was saved. When Korah went up there before Moses, said, we can pray too. We don't need you to be our priest. We got priests amongst us. And Moses said, God's going to show you a new thing. Earth opened up and they all went to hell. Why? Because they were reprobate concerning the faith. They did not believe the Lord would save them. They never had a heartfelt time where they knew they could call on the God of the Bible and be saved. They didn't know anything about it. But what they did know is this: they hated Moses. Why'd they hate Moses? All lost people hate preachers. Don't you preach to me. Had a man walk into the store one day, he said, don't you start preaching to me. I thought, well, now's as good a time as any, I guess. I ain't even thought about it until right now. He said, I'll call the law. I said, and they'll help me. I ain't never had a problem with a cop me preaching, never. In fact, when they have called the law, and the law comes by and brings us water, amen, listen. They ain't got a problem with you preaching to a bunch of drunks. They want to get saved too and get out of their hair. But listen to this. All these people that come out and they talk this stuff, When the last day comes, God will set it straight. You better be glad you know that's in the Bible where you can look it up. Let me help you today. The last day, according to the King James Bible, has 8 occurrences of it. Listen to this. 7 of them in the Gospel of John and 1 in Nehemiah. There's one place in Nehemiah chapter 8, one place in John where it talks about a feast day, the last day of the feast. But the rest of them look like this. Listen to this. John 6:39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of them which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Do you know if you've been given by God to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved? He said, I don't lose anything. He's never lost a convert. You and I can make a convert and they'll never make it to church. They're our converts. That's why. But if they're his converts, he's never lost one. He knows where everybody's at. He knows where all his are. And at the last day, they're going with him. John chapter 6, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Next time you go to a graveyard and you go there with a saved person, you keep that in mind. I don't care how heavy the vault is. I don't care how far down they bury him or if they're in a mausoleum, how well they seal it up. At the last day, they're coming up out of there. Say, preacher, what about cremation? It's a pagan practice, and they've got it over here because we got so many pagans over here that believes in false gods. And I'm not even talking about the Muslims. I'm talking about you white people acting like all that. Or you live your life so bad that you die and you die with nothing and somebody offers to pay for your funeral, but they want the cheapest way out. Are you listening to me today? With all that being said, I want to say this. What if I get cremated? Well, here's what will happen to you. They'll either put your ashes in a vase and put them somewhere, or they'll go sprinkle them out on the ocean or by the creek side or whatever people do, or in the far, the mission field and bury your heart one place and your body in another and whatever else. But at that last day when Jesus comes to rapture you out of here, I don't care how many ashes you've been made into, they coming back to one place. I don't care how many organs you've ever donated in your life. All the people of God is going to be in for shock because organ donor day's over that day. Wouldn't you hate to have a heart transplant and the man's in heaven and Jesus said, come up hither, and the church rises and all them things come back together and you, boom, you're gone. Hope you get saved, transplant person. Hope you've come to the Lord, transplant. Hey, I hope you've accepted Christ, because it'd be a tragedy to lose your eyes at something like that and be blind physically and spiritually at that moment on that last day. Jesus said in John 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 11, verse 24, he told Martha that Lazarus would live, and she says this, she saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She just didn't believe he could do it right then. And then we find in John chapter 12, verse 48, this is the kicker here. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, which ones are they? Genesis through Revelation, his words. All of them, inspired, inerrant, infallible, every word with the Spirit of God in each one. Watch this. Hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. There's coming a time in which that Jesus you make fun of and don't read his word, he's going to judge you. He's not going to judge you according to your chart and your book of life. He's going to judge you according to his. 66 books, you're held accountable for every word. Yep. Oh, well, I don't have to read the Bible to be saved. No, but saved people like to eat just like lost people. Right. He said, this is the bread of life. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, this word's bread of life. Well, I have to go to church to be a Christian. Oh, I don't have to, listen, going to church don't make you a Christian just like going to Burger King. It don't make you a Whopper. But it sure is our good to get one when it's hunger time, ain't it? Listen to me carefully. When it comes time to feed the word of God, I'm going to be in the house of God where the word's broken. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. He said the same shall judge him in the last day. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. As we're closing out that Matthew chapter 24, man, this thing's hard, ain't it? This is a thing where we look at this stuff and say, man, this is tough stuff here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you look down at verse number 4, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. It says, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. So Paul mentions the power of God. Jesus said what in John 1:12? He that receiveth me, he said, I giveth him power to become the sons of God. Not a decision, power. I can decide to live anywhere, but a price has got to be paid if there's power in that place. Watch what he says in verse 5. Examine yourselves, he says, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. What happens to a reprobate? Well, they've been found false. Jesus said the rapture is going to happen. They're going to be left behind. What happens to them then? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it's down around verse 10, 11 down there. They're going to be sent a strong delusion. What's that delusion about? Ain't we seen a little bit of that creeping over now? We're not seeing that right now. Have you ever thought that little description of reprobate people over in Romans chapter 1 is not only for right now, but that's also prophetically for that time as well? It's got a double meaning there. One for right now and soon hereafter. You got to realize all this book when it was written was prophecy. Have you ever thought about Romans chapter 1 in that light, that last little part where it says the women working with women, that which is unseemly, and the men with men and all that, all those diseases he said will come? That's happening now, but can you imagine how it's going to be after the Holy Ghost is taken out of here? He who now letteth will let is gone. God sends them a strong delusion. Who does he send it to? Listen to me carefully. He sends it to the reprobates. Those that are on this side of the rapture of the church that have heard that gospel message preached and they couldn't wait to get away from that thing so they never have to come back. And yet they wind up in a funeral where it's preached. They wind up in a wedding where it's preached. Or they go to church to get mama's favor or get mama's money or something like that. And they show up there and they put on a good face. They try to pretend like they're there and that they believe, but they're reprobates. They've heard the gospel. They've rejected Jesus. They've rejected his words. Now where are they at? When the church is taken out of here, according to this Bible, they're doomed. So how are they doomed? Because God's going to turn his attention back to Israel in the same chapter where the word reprobate shows up at over there and calls it the time of Jacob's trouble, a great time of tribulation known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Oh, listen to me carefully. You'll never receive the gospel after we leave. That strong delusion to make you walk down there to tattoo parlor and say, put 666 right here. I want everybody to know I'm for the Lord. That's the lie they believe. All the Muslims going to unwrap them heads and say, put it right there. Put it right there. And put an extra one over here so I can put my towel back on my head. Unwrap up my pamper one more time. That's what they're going to do. And the sad thing is, people sit in churches just like this one every week. Or if they're not here, someone says, are you saying, yeah, I go to Victory Baptist Church. Bless your heart. Listen, if you saved, wake up. That's right. If you're not saved, get saved today. We'll see you at 6.
That's right.
We're getting down to the end of the thing. This is not the front end of the thing. We're at the end of it. And here's the thing. For all those that are listening that you are reprobate, God can save you right now. You pass him by one last time, the rapture happens, he'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. Mm-hmm. Paul wrote to a church crowd to examine yourselves. Let me examine myself. Did you get saved when the Bible said get saved? Was you get saved because you realized you were guilty of sin and you were under conviction and you needed to get saved? Or did you get saved because your buddy did? Did you get saved in Bible school because 23 others raised their hand, you raised your hand with them? Mm-hmm. Who said that prayer? Raise your hand, come up here and all this other stuff. And they never asked Christ to save them. Everybody else is doing it. I guess that's why you drank too, because everybody else is doing it. All the cool kids are. Hey, listen, examine yourselves whether you be in faith. In the faith. In Christ. Not professed. In. You know, there's going to come a time today, not when it'll be. There's going to come a time today I'm going to go in a place. It's called my home. I'll be in there. I want it to be in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, too. Get away from all the gaffney drivers, right to the house. And listen to this. When that happens, I believe that place is there. I believe it is. I believe I'll be there. But it ain't going to count till I get there and pull that lever on that recliner. That's when it's going to count. Examine myself. You know what? I'm going to look at my license. What's my license say? There's the address. Go to that one. You know what that license has in it? Boy, you ought to shout over this, and it has a seal on that thing. Ooh. Is he sealed you? Do you have heaven's address with that thing? Examine yourselves. And if that don't work, I'll just wait till tax time when it's time to pay them and not pay it. And they'll come to the house with another letter and say, you want to pay this. So I ain't paying that. Next thing I know, there's a guy calling my house saying, I got paid your license. You got to pay me to get it now. You going to pay them taxes. You know what God's going to do? Hey, saved person, you sealed. He's got you on heaven's address, on heaven's roll. But he's going to make you pay for it. Either you pay it or Jesus pays it. Take your pick. Right. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.